So, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about the blockbuster Guardians of the Galaxy today, and it opened well in China recently, but received mixed reviews from Chinese film critics and moviegoers, predominantly because of the allegedly atrocious subtitles. So, if you have watched the film, you know, feel free to join our discussion, but if you haven't, maybe you can remember the mistakes we're going to mention in this discussion and tell your dates or friends when you go to watch the movie and impress them.
Your dates? How many people are how many people are people dating these days? Jesus.
Why?
And actually going to movies seems to be a pretty standard thing to do on a date.
Exactly.
Yeah, go to the dinner first and then go watch this movie. And people are saying that Chinese moviegoers can't really enjoy this movie 100% because of the bad translation. And having watched the movie myself, I don't really think it's that bad. There are a couple of errors, maybe a bit more than a couple, but I don't think it really spoils your movie watching experience.
Yeah, this comes from you, who understands English really well.
Yeah. Also, I just remember, I mean, when I watched the movie a couple weeks ago, a couple days after it first came out, that I noticed there were a few points where I would glance down at the subtitles because I was interested in how it was being expressed in Chinese, and I can't think of any specific examples from that time. But I do recall being a little bit confused as to why certain words and phrases were being translated as such. And also I noticed, I think I was probably the only foreigner in the movie theater. It was maybe, you know, 75% full. And there were many occasions where I was the only person laughing. And my wife, you know, had to, like, kind of give me a little nudge to be like, John, you got to be a little bit quieter. Because, you know, partly it's because of the humor, I think. I mean, you have to give the translator some credit in that regard. The humor was, I think, number one, very referential to 80s, U.S. 80s culture, because that's when the main character, that's when he is from. But also, in general, I mean, it's a very quick and witty movie that if it's not translated correctly, or if it's even possible to translate it correctly, then it's just no one's going to get it.
Yeah, and I think that is quite a big deal when it comes to translating movies. And there are some cultural references that if you can't get it out in the subtitles, then the humor just is completely lost.
Yeah.
And there were many occasions during this movie that there were some very strong American-specific cultural references about, such as the movie Footloose and Kevin Bacon. Oh, that part I laughed
and
so
John Stamos.
Yes. But those things you can't explain unless you have a footnote on the movie screen. And I just sort of, on the defense of this translator, I think those things just isn't really possible to be translated very well.
Yeah, and even if you have successfully translated out the flavor, because of the time wasted in reading the footnote, you probably already missed the humor already. So on that part, I don't blame the translator. Yeah, but you know, on the other hand, there are probably some more mistakes that are just, you know, blatant translation mistakes.
Well, yeah. I mean, what was annoying is, I mean, looking at, for example, moons, right, where it should be in Chinese, they translated as Yueliang, which is the moon of Earth, when it should be more like Weixing, so looking at, like, different stars almost. And also, what was really annoying was Terra was just homophonically translated, transliterated into Telanxing. When Terra, in science fiction, when we're dealing with, like, the whole universe and stuff, Terra is usually the name that writers use just to refer to Earth, because Terra is the Latin for Earth.
Yes, and there were some very basic grammatical translation errors too. For example, there at the beginning of the movie, the main guy, Peter Quill, he said, "This is it's just an outfit, man." So this is a coat or a uniform. But the subtitle actually said that 这是捡来的, so I found this in a garbage. I mean, in Chinese, actually, if you look at the context, it doesn't really bother you as much. But when you understand the English, and then you're like, oh, this is not correct at all. But I think when there's one person in charge of this whole movie, which is quite difficult to translate in the first place, and then it just seems like this person hasn't paid 100% attention to details, to making sure that some of these pretty simple mistakes should have been avoided, I think.
Exactly. And so when we talk about translation, I think in some of those, you know, highly cultural context related parts, they can actually, what the translator can do is they can probably, you know, do a yi, which, you know, it's not a direct translation, but you sort of find something in Chinese that makes the same kind of sense.
But you have to be careful because that the same translator tried to do something like that in Pacific Rim. And she got a lot of flack for doing that.
Right. But I think maybe her boss asked her not to do that again. It is possible. But I think in these, you know, in some of the Kevin Bacon sort of jokes, you can't do it, with a direct translation. Nobody knows
who
Kevin Bacon is.
I think it would be really going out of the limb to do it in the Chinese way.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are going to bound to be slamming you no matter it's good or not.
But I think it's also, I mean, if you do that, you're being unfaithful to the work. Which I think as the artists who crafted this film, I would be insulted if someone did that to a book or to a script that I wrote. I mean, it would be similar. And you know, also, I mean, like if we were to take, you know, a classic work of Chinese cinema, and then because some of the phrases or words, you know, are just too cultural specific, people who are translating it for Americans decided to make like an American example out of it. I mean, how would Chinese people feel about that? And also, I mean, as an American watching that type of film, I would feel cheated because I'm watching this movie. I mean, at least this is perhaps a bit different between me and Chinese moviegoers in Hollywood. But if I'm watching a Chinese movie, it's because I want to learn about Chinese cinema. I want to learn about Chinese culture. And so if you're giving me something that's kind of like mediated and you know, as it's like American Chinese food. I mean, American Chinese food isn't Chinese food.
Right. Well, I think that's one way of looking at translation, but some people think that...
And also Chinese Western food isn't really Western food, by the way. It's usually pretty bad. Go ahead.
Okay. I think, but translation for some people, they think that it's actually a process of recreation, that it has to do with the translator's preference and see how can you express it in the best way you see fit in another language. So I think these are very two different views on how it should be.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's, you know, not necessarily one side is right or wrong, but, you know, just to stick up for myself again, you know, when I was learning conference interpretation, this classic example of what if someone tells a joke and you don't understand the punchline as an interpreter, what you're supposed to do. So the best way is just to say in the other language, you know, somebody has made a joke, please laugh, you know. So the only thing that you could do is to ensure that people,
that's totally different. And I think that really we're talking about many different areas of translation. And I'm sure that, you know, if we did a couple Google searches, there's probably a lot of debate going on internationally. There is a lot of debate, you know, going on internationally about translators and, you know, the effect it has and how they can do a better job in communicating across cultures and things like that. But conference translation is very different from a movie translation, which is very different from a book translation.
I think the
point that we have to make here is that supposedly, at least, the person who's doing the translation for Pacific Rim and for Guardians of the Galaxy is not trained as such. And so I doubt she even has a consciousness of these types of issues.
Mm. Well, and also, this is a huge movie and one of the best-selling movies across the world.
Although not very good.
But it seems like there's... I wonder how or why that this woman was given this job to do the translation, when you can obviously see there are some maybe better people, candidates out there that could have done the job. But I think that probably has a lot to do with the system here, that it is usually the four Chinese...
It's only four.
The only four Chinese movie translation companies that deals with translation before these imported movies hit the Chinese cinemas. And now there's the discussion about, should this be a bit more open to more competition, and instead of just assigning this task to whoever the boss thinks is fit here, and it happened to be this
one. And to be honest, I think it shows a bit of negligence on both sides. I mean, if I was the producer or the executive producer of this movie and we're working with different translations, I mean, I think really at some point you kind of have to invest the money, especially in the Chinese market, you know, and actually have, like, you know, an in-house translator or some way where the original script writers and the translator can actually work together.
Yeah, or just hire the 字幕组 who would work for very, very
little money.
They're the best in terms of translating and adding footnotes, and they charge very little.
But they're not official enough.
No.